upon you. I'll bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. That's how you know it. But first of all, you've got to know that the Lord did. You know the Lord did it, don't you? Let me tell you what some folks believe. Some folks believe that they are kinfolks to a monkey. Some folks would rather have their father and mother to be a monkey than to God to be their father and maker and creator. In fact, the matter is they won't have it any other way than to be a monkey's uncle, so to speak. Actually, elder, they would rather be first cousins to an ape than to be a son of God. Something must be wrong with their mind. God says, here, although I put breath in you, still something else has got to happen. You get the idea? And then he says, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. That even came after the breath. Now, doesn't that put all things in order? Isn't that the way the gospel teaches it? Isn't Ezekiel 37 the same thing as it says over in the gospel according to St. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Isn't it the same thought, same thing that the apostles teach and have taught throughout the ages of the New Testament church? Isn't it what the 12 patriarchs have been saying all down through the ages? And my, do you see the parallel here? As God set forth in Genesis 1, how he made man, how equally it parallels here. Can you see then what God is saying? I made my church like I made man. It's a useless thing until I give it life. That's simple, isn't it? I tell folks, well, yes, it's simple, and they agree with me, and they shake their head up. I says, go tell your neighbors tomorrow. It's reasonable, it's simple. Go tell your neighbors tomorrow. Why won't they be able to understand what seems to be so simple to you? I mean, after all, here's the answer. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. That's the ingredient that is necessary. Now, how does that come? Faith comes by hearing. A heart is touched to love, but with love, and beats fervently toward the Lord, and a mind is quick to understand and know these things only if it has life, and has life everlasting or spiritual life. So even having life, until spiritual life is given, there is no understanding of spiritual things. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking of the bones. They came together. Anybody have their Bible open there to verse 7, the last part? See what it says? Here we have a great array and dry bones. Behold, he says, these bones are very dry. You talking about dead and dry, they're very dry. They laid out and the sun's baked away every bit of water in them, and it says here that these bones came, every one of them now, bone to his bone. Now, there's a sister up there, she has a degree in nursing. I went to school half my life also trying to learn something about this body. Just tell you what, you shake up a bag of bones and bring in here, and with all of our knowledge, and bring the shop manual to Gray's Anatomy, open it up, and we start, and I'll tell you, I doubt between now and morning that we could get a skeleton put together, a bone, and get every one of them in the right place. And God says that every one of them, bone to his bone, come together, and they did it. They couldn't keep from it. John says he could tell the rocks there to be children of Israel, they'll do it. They couldn't keep from it, don't you see? I say, after all, he could speak to the sea and says, stop. He spoke to the River Jordan and it stopped, didn't it? By the way, you know how far it was rolled back? It flowed down this way to the Dead Sea. Did you ever look in there and see how far the River Jordan was rolled back? Rolled back to a city called Adam. Coincidence? Not at all. Your sins are rolled back to Adam and clear to the Dead Sea. And if you don't believe that, you aren't ready to cross Jordan, don't you see? That's not coincidence, is it? I hope that they get that now when they translate the Bible and don't leave that out, because that's a part we don't want to miss. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Didn't have any life in them at all. There they are, beautiful, beautiful bodies. The Lord makes a beautiful body. And we just don't know how beautiful. I'm telling you, there's never been a woman in this world that was as beautiful as Eve was. Because, you see, that we're all born sinners in this world, and Eve wasn't. She was beautiful. Because God said, behold, she's good and very good. And I can tell you that somewhere in this series of appointments that I have preached to you and read in your hearing this, that even the imagination of man is evil. And Adam was made a full-grown man, 30 years old, and the Lord was born a baby here in this world. God is a God that is long-suffering, merciful, and kind, full of grace and mercy. Surely, to suffer these things. So Ezekiel, my, wouldn't this be some dream to have, some vision to have? You've had that vision. Because what he is seeing is a revelation that God is the maker and builder and giver of life. That God is the God that gives the life. Man doesn't do it. Man can't do it. You know all of those things. You thank God. Don't be envious of Ezekiel, because God has done for you what he's done for Ezekiel, though you understand. You understand these things because God has given you understanding. You couldn't know them otherwise. You couldn't see, hear, understand, or love, or comprehend, except God give you comprehension and reveal it to you. Yes, faith comes by hearing, but brother, you have to be able to hear first. And you have to have life. And you have to have understanding. And if you don't have everything working together, it will not work. It won't come together. It won't work. So there they lay. All of these. Now, what was it that killed them? Obviously, they lost the battle. Some of them may have had their heads cut off. Some of them may have been run through with spears. Some of them may have been disjointed here and there. Some of them might have been tied to chariot wheels or horses and pulled apart. I don't know what the conditions was that took them to death, but I'm telling you now that under the command of God, when they come back, they didn't have any of those things. They're all gone. They're not there anymore. You remember over in when the Lord went to the little girl's house that had died, and he told her to arise. She got sick and died. She was sick and died. When she got up, she wasn't sick, was she? You remember the first thing the Lord told her? Give her something to eat. Give the damsel something to eat. That was a sign. She was hungry. She wanted to eat. She's healthy. The thing that brought her there wasn't there anymore. Now there they are. They're there. Everything's in good order, Elder. The thing that killed them and took them to death isn't there, and they're still as helpless as they can be. You can't charge that off because they had a leg or an arm or a head severed or whatever it was that killed them. The heart may be torn through with a spear, their inward part sliced or cut open, whatever it was, all of those things weren't there in that body. Yet, it still can't get up. It can't walk. It's as helpless as it can be. Now, whether you charge it off to a body, whether it's the church itself, whether it's the Old Testament church, the temple that Solomon built, or whether it's the church here, it's helpless except God give it life. Now, God says, don't you poison my body. Don't you pollute my temple. You present your body holy and acceptable before the Lord. Don't you pollute it. And don't you pollute my church. Don't you bring things outside that'll hurt my body. Don't bring things into it. Now that carries a wide array of things, and it does include your natural body that you live in. You're not supposed to destroy this body through carelessness and through bringing things into it that destroy it. You're under obligation not to do that. It is a holy thing that God's given you. And as a child of God, even God himself lives in that body. And don't take it where God wouldn't have it to go. And as the church is concerned, God says if you don't do like I tell you to do, then I'll do with you at your church like I did with them at old. I'll just leave. I'll just leave. I'll just take up my leave and I'll go. Then said he unto me, what sign to the wind? Or that is to breathe. Son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that may live. Now, folks, that there is a pictorial of the Spirit of God. Do you remember on the Pentecostal occasion when they were gathered together and the Spirit came and tongues of cloven fire? How did they describe it? Anybody remember? As the rustling of a mighty wind. As a rustling of a mighty wind. As it moved among those that were gathered there that day, 120 of them as I recall, and the Spirit came and set upon them in cloven tongues of fire. Chose them out individually, set upon them, and gave them life. And when they did receive their life, then they went places and they did things that normally they couldn't have done. Then said he unto me, you prophesied to the wind. Come from the four winds. Come from every direction. Come to them. Come to them. Say to them as it comes and give them life that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath, that is the Spirit, is to say, it came unto them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. We're disjointed. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I'll open your graves and cause you to come up. I come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. So you see there in that verse, it brings together and says this, that God gives life. Wherever there's life, whether it's in the person, whether it's in a nation, whether it's in the church, the old church or the new church, wherever life is involved, God gives it. Everything else is passive. It's a material thing that is dependent upon something to give it order and reason. And until it does, it's like an automobile, no matter how well and how precision it's made, until gasoline is put in it, it will not run. And when the gas is put in it, still the spark has to be turned off. And then it'll run. You have everything there, and you're just as helpless as it is. God is the giver and the maker of life. You don't have to worry about things in this world. That's what he said. Go out and look. Sit down and take a good long look at it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just had the ability, you and I, me to preach it, you to understand, to really take this thing out and just take about 4 or 5 hours that I might be able to tell you what I'd like to tell you about this, and then there'd be hours and hours and hours of preaching, because we never use up a text. We just don't do it. May the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Thank you.